All right, today we start Siman Kufnun Tes. And actually, before we start, I'd like to give something of a hagdama to Hilchos Ribis. There are a couple of points that are very general points that should be known and are the subject of a lot of confusion when it comes to the halachas of Ribis. So I'd like to start by just giving a hagdama. It's not fair to say it's an overall hagdama because there are a lot of overall topics. Ribis is a very broad sugya, but nevertheless, there are a couple of inyanim that have to do with the taich, the meaning of terms that have to do with loans or with ribis. And there's a lot of confusion regarding them, and therefore, I'd like, as best I can, to just share with you four or five basic yisaidais in the halachas of ribis. The first is the term ribis ktsutsa. Okay, ribis is only in Isidai Raisa if it's ribis ktsutsa. Ktsutsa means that it's kotsuts or established at the time of the loan. If at the time of the loan someone lends someone else money and he says that you have to pay me interest, that's ribis dairaisa. That's ribis ktsutsa. If the time of the loan, he didn't say anything. And when it comes time to repay the loan, the person brings him a gift with the repayment. That's Ribis Rabbanan, that's Ribis She'enei Ketzutza. It's Hashem, we're going to go through a long list of differences between Ribis Tereis and Ribis Rabbanan. One of the main differences is that Ribis Rabbanan, you're not obligated to return. Once it was taken by the Eved, you don't have to return Ribis Rabbanan. Ribis Tereisa, the mitzvah d'oraisa to return. So that is an example. Sometimes it happens that people lend money. I once, one of my most amusing ribis shailos was on a Friday afternoon. I got a call from someone who lives a block away from me. He says he was in the local supermarket, and there was a lady with a full cart ahead of him, and she everything was. They rang up everything, bagged everything, and she realized she forgot her money home or her credit cards home. So what's she supposed to do? You know, everything's all done. So she turned to him and asked if he would be kind enough to lend her money to pay. So he didn't know her, but you know, it's a frum lady. So he lent her the money and saves her Erev Shabbos. So he calls me up that he came home. It's an hour or 2 hours before Shabbos. And the lady came back, brought back the money, and brought flowers for Shabbos. So he wanted to know, what does he do with the flowers, with the flowers for Shabbos? Flowers especially, you know, you're going to go return it on Monday morning. It's not exactly going to do the trick. So flowers have no value. There would be no females in the world, flowers would be valueless. But as long as there are females in the world, I got in trouble. I once said, must have been in a Navi Shir, that women only like things that have no use, that are useless. You know, like diamonds. What's a diamond good for? Diamonds are good for anything. So women like diamonds. Would a man ever want a diamond? Like maybe for investment. Diamonds, it's good for cutting. You try it with your wife's ring. Yeah. And diamonds and flowers, all the useless things. And saying nice words, you know. For practical purposes, it's to say something nice. But anyway, so there was Ribis Rabbanan, it was Ribis She'enei Ketzutza. And Ribis She'enei Ketzutza, you're not obligated to return. You don't have to return Ribis She'enei Ketzutza. So that's Aleph. The Aleph is the concept of Ribis Ketzutza. Ribis is only Aser Lois to Simon Olav Neshech. Simon, last week's parasha, yesterday's parasha. Lois to Simon Olav Neshech. Is Sima placing it, making at the time of the loan, making arrangements for ribis, that's the only time it's in Isidai Raisa. So that's Aleph.
What if you make arrangements but it's not known what the amount is going to be? That's the ribis ketzutza?
If it has to be at least a pruta, then it's ribis ketzutza.
So if you minimum ketzutza.
A minimum of a pruta is ketzutza. However, there is a sugya where you make an arrangement which is dependent on a tanai. It might be ribis, it might not be. That's called sad echad beribis. Sad echad beribis is a machlekes in the Gemara, and it's a machlekes hapoiskim. It's a safik la'aloch if it's ribis dairaisa. Sad echad beribis, and we'll get to it at some point. Yes.
The person who gives ribis, he's already the Jewish, he's already the Rabban, right? So when you
Pashtus, yes. The Avera was done already. The giving was the Avera. There's no giving it back, doesn't take it off. Okay. Now, it's not simple that there's an Isser on the giver by a Drabbanan, but it's generally is accepted that way. On the receiver. So that's the first term, Ktsutza Eina Ktsutza. The second is the first Rashi in Perek Ezel Neshech, maybe the second Rashi. Rashi says a klal that you have to know, Ribis Derech Mekach Umemkar is Ribis Drabbanan. Now what does that mean, Ribis Derech Mekach Umemkar? That means if there's no loan, if the money, it's part of a business deal. Part of a business deal, whether a worker, you tell a worker that I'm going to pay you. If I pay you late, I have to pay you more. Or in purchasing items, somebody says, I'll pay you up front for July delivery and give it to me cheaper. That's ribis derech mekach umemkar. And ribis derech mekach umemkar is also an issa d'rabbanan. And this is a gigantic sugya. We will not have it in Kosamach, but the whole concept of Sa B'Sah, which some of you are familiar with, which is Kosamach Beis, or Sechayim B'Sah, which is Kosamach Gimel, they are big sugis of Ribis Derech Mekach U'Memkar. That's a Drabbanan. Again, we're going to have to wait and see where it comes up, when it comes up. The simplest case is the case in the first Mishnah in Ezel Neshech, where I go to you and I tell you, I'll pay you up front, I'm making a wedding in June. I'll pay you everything up front, and give me a cheaper price for the purchase that I'm doing. Tuition, we'll see why that might be mutter. But paying up front for Mekach U'Memkar and getting it cheaper, or paying late and paying extra, if it's Derech Mekach U'Memkar, if it's part of a purchase, not part of a loan, that also is Ribis D'Rabbanan. It's not a Halvah, that's Ribis D'Rabbanan. So we have Ribis Ktsutza and Ribis Derech Mekach U'Memkar, which are both Drabbanan, basic ideas that you have to know.
Shmuel says the field in Perek Aleph, and the field from Akav himself to Olkeya, and he says since there's no bill transfer of property, it's when he pays back, you can't give Shvach, you don't pay back Shvach because it's near Kerizis. So is that because he holds it's like Rubis Derisa there?
I have to figure out the sugya. I don't want to. Okay. I think into other chilukim, which might be not everybody else's.
Okay,
so those are two things that make it a Rabbanan. Now I'd like to share with you two situations which make what people think is ribis make it mutter lechatchila. Okay, in English, you borrow a shovel and you borrow cash. There's one word in English for borrowing cash. Or borrowing a shovel, or borrowing a car. In Lashon Kodesh, they're two different things. A halva is something that's borrowed to be consumed and replaced. It doesn't have to be cash. Cash is an example. If you borrow cash, you don't plan to give back the same cash. You borrow cash to spend, and you give back other cash. If you borrow a dozen eggs, that's also halva. Even though it's an item, but you don't borrow the dozen eggs to return the dozen eggs. You borrow the dozen eggs in order to consume it and return something else. That's halva. The rules of ribis do apply to all halvais, including a halva of material, whatever it might be. By she'ila, if you borrow someone's shovel, someone's snowblower, it's a big snowstorm, which hopefully will not have to happen this winter anymore, and you borrow a snowblower and you have a corner house and you're delighted, so when you return it you also give him a fresh potato kugel. So it's ribis, not ribis. There's no issa ribis on a shayel, on somebody who borrows an item that's returned as is. There's no issa. As a matter of fact, you're allowed to pay serious, you're allowed to rent it from him, you're allowed to tell him, I'd like to use your snow blower, I'll give you $10. So obviously it's not ribis. Well, schirus is when you rent something. So why can't you go rent money? I want to rent money from you. I need $10,000. Let me rent it from you. So the answer is that renting is for something you return be'en. If someone needs cash, because he wants to make himself look rich. He's going to return the same bills. He tells the person, I want to borrow the bills, I'm returning, I just want to sprinkle them all over the house, you know, for shidduch, you know, they're coming in. Yeah. So he wants to put it all over the place. So that's mutter, you're allowed to pay for that. If you're returning the same bills, because it's a touch complicated, but she'ila, you're allowed to pay for. That's ribbis. To return something better, that's ribbis. If you use it, if you're consuming it, and return, if it's ksusa, if you said, I'm going to borrow eggs, I'll give you a better one, that's ribbis teraisa. If you just said, I'm borrowing a dozen eggs, I'll return a dozen eggs. So if you give better, that's ribbis shenik ksusa, that's also a drum. Now, it's been observed that in languages, whatever is important to a language, there are many words. You say the Eskimos have 10 words for snow, the Italians have 10 words for spaghetti, and Jews have 10 words for money. What are you doing with money? You know, tzuzos and kesef and mamin and everything else. So that's just the way it is. Now that's an important chiluk. Now it is a slightly more complicated than I'm making it, because the Gemara says in Amayra actually opened up a rent a money store. They're saying the Gemara in Zelneshev. He wanted to rent money, so someone called it. So what are you doing? It's ribbis. So he asked him, my shnomi mara. What's the difference? They're renting a shovel. I want to rent money. So the Gemara says two chalukim. Gemara says ha hadra be'ena, v'haloi hadra be'ena. A shovel you return, that's she'ila. And kish, you don't give back the same kish, so that's ribbis. Gemara does have a second chilik. It says that a shovel is hada pichsei. It's given back with wear and tear. It goes down in value. A shovel depreciates as it's used. If you're like, so there's no iser ribbis. Kish is there's no reduction in its value because it gets worn out. Maybe they're silver coins, but it's an afkamina. It's not so poshut that if you borrow $10,000 in cash, you return it, that it's mutter, because cash today doesn't have the Gemara's second teretz of pichsei, which lechatchila we try to be machmir both terutzim and b'di'evu u'megel. But anyway, I'm not looking to get into all the pratim. I just want to tell you the rule, these basic hagdama rules. So I told you two things that are making a drabanan. If it's ena ketsutza, it's a drabanan. If it's derech mekach omenka, it's a drabanan. Important to remember. Now, two things that are mutter. She'ila is mutter, and iska is mutter. Now, I'm not talking about heter iska, I'm talking about iska. Iska. Now, it's interesting, when I learned Hilchus Ribbis about 20 years ago, when we learned Hilchus Ribbis in yeshiva for Azman, I was waiting to get to the siman about heter iska. And I suffered a long time till I realized there is no place in Shulchan Aruch that talks about Hete Iska. I'm still waiting. There is something called Iska. Now, let me explain what Iska is. A typical case of Iska, somebody wants to open a business. He doesn't have capital. He comes over to me, he has this brilliant idea for a business in Flatbush. He wants to open a cafe. Not enough cafes in Flatbush. So he's going to open a cafe. He knows how to run it and everything. He just needs capital. So I tell him, you know what? I'll make a shutvis with you. You'll be 50-50. I put up whatever it is, $100,000. And you run the business. And we'll split profits and losses. We'll split evenly. If there'll be profits, we'll split it. And if there's loss, we'll split the losses. So that is what Chazal call an iska. Chatzi b'schar and chatzi b'hefzid. We're going to split profits and losses equally. Now that is mutal chatchila. It's not a loan. It's not she'ila. It's not halva. It's what Chazal call iska. It's an investment. It's an investment into the business. It's called chati lilba chati pikadin, for reasons we'll see later, because half of it remains mine, half of the business is yours. That is called the iska. The only requirement is that the person doing the work has to get some sort of salary for his work. It doesn't have to be a salary that's a market salary for what he's doing. It could be, say, you give a dollar, b'shas at this, it could be a smaller amount. But my point is that that's an iska. I have very often, and losses. It has to be profits and losses shared equally. So that's the thing. When profits and losses are shared, that is an iska, and there are people who come to me sometimes for a het iska. That's their arrangement. They want to do a het iska. I tell them, why do you need a het iska? You are an iska. So they're confused, because het iska is just a terminology for some sort of kameya that you wave at a ribis and it becomes mutter. They say, no, it makes an iska, and that which you have is an iska, and it's 100% mutter. Now, if you guarantee the principal, if the managing partner guarantees the principal, that is ribis derabanan. That's an osur. It's not ktsutza. The person's not guaranteed profit. So that's ribis derabanan. If he guarantees the profit, then that's ribis ktsutza. If he guarantees the profit, then that is ribis ktsutza. And this is a common problem. And I'll tell you, when we get into Kuf Samach, one of the most interesting things that ever came my way in Hilchas Ribis was a Shaila. I look at people, I know both. They came to me down here. This man had a gewaldige tip on an investment that returned an extraordinary amount of money. On land they were buying, they knew the government was going to seize the land and pay for it. And they turned, like, it was one of those things too good to be true, like a 25 or 30% profit in 6 months. And it actually worked. Usually they come when they cry babies, it didn't work, but it actually worked. But what happened is, they went to this person who happens to be, it was a classmate of mine in high school, and he asked him, he said he needs $1 million, $500,000, a very large amount of money. And he told him the whole thing, and the fellow investigator, and he saw it was Taka Kedvarim Kenhu. Now, it's not his money, it's his father's money. He agreed, he went to his father, who was an elderly man, and the father said, fine, but I want him to guarantee the principal. So he guaranteed the principal, and they did it. And they came to me, you know, 6 or 8 months later, and they said, this person said, honestly, said, I want to give him a share in the profit, but someone pointed out to me that it's ribis. So if there's a heter, I'm going to give it to him. If there's no heter, I'm not giving it to him. That's what he told him. And this fellow was very upset. He was caught in between his father, you know, old Yerpeisha Yid. What does he know from the, you know, he's supposed to get a couple $100,000, you know, ribis. So, you know, you give back 25 cents, but a couple $100,000, you know, it's like, so I asked him why they're coming to me there from Lakewood. He said, because this fellow, they had written in the Shtar a certain Rav, that paisik for their deal. And the Rav told him he doesn't know a heter. They're going from Rav to Rav to try to find a heter that he should be able to give it to him. And what's interesting enough is that in their case, because of a unique situation to them, I told them I think there is a heter. There's a heter, you're not supposed to be mefarsim, but when it comes samuch, we'll get to a heter. But for now, I'll leave you curious. The point is that an iska is mutter, but you cannot guarantee the principal. And you cannot guarantee the profit. Now, you are allowed, in the normal iska, you guarantee half the principal. Because the person is saying, I'll take half the losses. If they puts in $100,000, it gets lost. He's obligated for $50,000. But if he guarantees half the principal, he has to get half the profits. If the deal is he gets a third of the profits, then he can guarantee a third of the principal. They have to be equal in losses and equal in profit. And that is called the iska, partnership. What? You cannot give ribis b'matana. It's still ribis. What does that mean? He wants to give $300,000 matana. So why does he give it to me? Why does he give it to him? Why does he give it him $300,000? Why does he give me $300,000? No. Can you take chazer and put up a sign, glatt kosher? It becomes kosher. It's the same thing. You take ribis, you hang up a sign, matana. It's still ribis. A matana sheini nikaris is mutter. But a matana tzniker is not. It doesn't have to be 50-50. It could be. No. It has to. It could be 90. It could be 90 profit, 90 loss. As long as profits and losses are even, it's okay.
Guaranteed.
If he guarantees 90% of the principal, he has to get 90% of the profit. No, he has to have the upside and downside has to be equal.
What about Rashi's heter?
Rashi's heter is the heter I'm talking about there, which Mifesh will talk about.
Now, inflation play any role?
It's interesting. Ramesh has a tshuva about inflation. The question is, if I lend you money, can I tell you, just I want to be indexed to inflation. I call it fair ribis. So there's no question that it's asr. Rav Moshe has a fascinating tshuva. He says, it's a double pashut. Let's say someone borrowed $100 from me in 1960. I finally catch up to him in 2012. So remember I lent you $100? He says, oh good, here's $100. I tell, what do you mean? In 1960 you bought a car for $100. You know, give me back what it's worth today. The halacha is that all chayshim mishpat is pegged to cash value. And he owes me only $100. He doesn't owe me a penny more. He borrowed $100, he owes me $100. For Moshe writes, it's not because we don't recognize that the value of money goes up and down. It's just that chayshim mishpat is pegged to tiva, to the coinage of the time. Rav Moshe writes, that's all in Bein Adam L'Chaveiroi. In Bein Adam L'Mokayim, you're allowed to adjust for inflation. He says, when it comes to tzedakah, to Maisa money, if you bought a house in 1960 for $20,000, you sell it today for $1 million, so push it, you have to give Maisa on $980,000. So Rav Moshe says, no, you're allowed to index it for inflation. The $20,000 then is worth, I don't know, $400,000 today. So your profit is $600,000. Because we recognize that there's such a thing as the value of money fluctuating. But not, but if it's on the Machaveira, there's no adjustment.
Even at the loss of stock.
Right, even though stock gets less. Right, so at any rate, my Nekudas, the four Nekudas I wanted to tell you today, were two that make it ribis drabana. Einak tzutza turns it into drabana. Derech mekach umemkar turns it into drabana. And the two that make it mutter, if you're a shayel, you're not a loiva, it makes it mutter lechatchila. If it's an iska, it's mutter lechatchila. All a hetter iska does is find a method of changing the loan into an iska, with the possibility of loss being as mitigated as a smaller risk as possible.
But if somebody, I remember today that in 1960 I said I would give $100 in tzedakah.
So, the other way around.
The other way around.
If you owe tzedakah, I'm not sure. Probably if you said 100, you have to do 100. That's all you have to do is what you said. It's a nedus. You have to do the words you said. So I think it's fine. I have to give 100. If you owe them 100 because they did service for you and you owe them $100, they start to declare. But, okay. Now, not a deraisa. Derech mekachu memkar is not an iska because there's no possibility of loss. The crucial piece in iska is liability. If I want to make a loan and have zero liability, it can't be an iska. If I give you money and I say that you'll deliver the goods to me in July at a 10% discount, then I have no, our deal doesn't allow a possibility for loss, and therefore I can only profit. That's not an iska. Okay. Well, I'm saying whatever the price will be, I get it at 10% off. That's the case. Okay, now there's a case where we set a price for July, it could go up or down, so that's also aser. Taisa says that it can go up and down, it should be Tzarecha Beribis, and Taisa says that Tzarecha Beribis is only when it's Bidei Adam and not Bidei Shemayim. It's still too complicated to go into, but this is the basic rule. Now, with Kimisimu Kufnan Tess, it's Shemutta Lahavas and Chavon Lamuba Beribis. What's it doing here? Why is it ribis a chayshim mishpat? The Rambam has ribis in Hilchas Malvav Olayva. The Gemara has Hilchas ribis in middle above Metziah. What's it doing here in Yeridaya? The answer is that Kufnun Tes belongs. Because we're learning Hilchas Akum. Till now we learned all the halachas that have to do with a guy or a mummer as opposed to a from yid. Right? That's what we've been learning till now. So Kufnun Tes belongs. It's right to Hilchas Akum. In the beginning of Simen Kuf Samach, the Torah begins, the next Simen, he says, Hilchis Ribis, Hayel V'Asa Liyadon, Neim Abba Milsa. That's how the Torah starts. Hilchis Ribis, Hayel V'Asa Liyadon, since we talked about Ribis L'Gabi Goyim, Neim Abba Milsa. Let me say, you know, like someone gives a speech, he says, let me just add a small piece. So he has a small piece that goes on for a very long time, and he's stuck in Hilchis Ribis here. And the Bach says, why does the Torah say it? Says, you have a kasha. What's he doing in Yeridaya? Since the kasha is what's he doing in Yeridaya, so therefore he's coming to fast himself. So here, there's a chakira klali, whether ribis is a Yeredeya Dikedin or a Chayshe Mishpat Dikedin. There is a whole lot of Shakla Vitaria on the Shaila of whether Ribbis is a Chayshe Mishpat Dikedin or Yeredeya Dikedin. Let me explain. Let's give you an example. The Binyan Tzion has a Shaila. Somebody lent money to someone else, and the Ribbis was he has to pay him back and give him an Esrig. That's a nice Shaila in the Binyan Tzion. He gave him back his loan plus an Esrig. The Esrig was Ribbis. So he asked whether he's Yaitza Lochem with this Esrig. Matzatolian. If it's a Chayshe Mishpat Dikedin, it's a stolen Esrig, it's not Lochem, it's not yours. You have no right to it. However, if it's a Yeredeya Dikedin, it means that when the Laiva gave it to me, he gave it willingly. There's no Isser in Chayshe Mishpat, it's mine. There's a Yeredeya Dikedin that this is treif, that this I'm not allowed to spend, not allowed to have this money. So that doesn't make it not lochem. I can talk about mitzvah vav avera, but it's lochem, it's not a chsaron in lochem. Well, Avnei Meluim has a shayla about being mekadesh anisha. It's something you got as ribbis. It's Avnei Meluim. And Chav Ches talks about whether you can be mekadesh anisha. Same shayla, the same exact question.
And it's not lochem. I mean, you that way.
Well, that's what I mean. When I say Chayshe Mishpat Dikedin, I mean it's a gezel type of thing, as opposed to as treifus. If someone buys nevela, it's still nevela. If someone takes chametz on Pesach, it's still chametz on Pesach.
Maybe if it's ketutz or not, it should make nafkamina because whether I have to give it back or not. No?
Oh, so nafkamina should be if you have to give it back. So here's where the Gemara says, why do you have to give back ribbis? It says, v'chay ochicha imach. Now, hador lei ki hecha diyichya. Now, why do you have to give back ribbis? It says, v'chay ochicha imach. And this is hasei, to give it back so he could live. He shouldn't be, he shouldn't have ribbis eating at him. So on the one hand, you have to give it back. On the other hand, you only have to give it back because of v'chay ochicha imach. So you can look at it two ways. You could say, you see, it's not geneva. You need a mitzvah saseh to return it back. On the other hand, you could say, what do you mean? You have to give it back. It is gezeila. It's a question of how you touch up the pasuk. Yeah, but calls a man that someone gives something to you and it's be'en, it's not yours. You're not mekayim lochem. You can't be mekayim shanisha with it. It's not lochem. That's the question. Is it lochem or isn't it? Now, the mashmois ha-gemara is that it's a yaredeya dikedin. One of the first gemaras in Ezel Neshach is that if a man takes ribbis and he dies, his children are not obligated to return the ribbis. That's not so with any other dinei mamon. The father stole something and died, the children have to return the stolen object. The father borrowed and he died. If he had a net asset value of his assets were more than his liabilities, the children are obligated to give it back. And yet, when a man dies, his children are not mechuyev to give back ribbis, generally speaking. That seems to be a raya that it's a yaredeya dikedin. It seems that roiv deyos are that it's a yaredeya dikedin. The Chaviz Das in Simakuf Samachalis of Katan Yud says that it's a yaredeya dikedin. If someone gave me ribbis, he gave me an object for ribbis, and I like the object, I don't want to return the object, I want to return the cash value, the Chaviz Das says you're allowed to. Even though if it would be stolen, you would have to return the object itself. Chaviz Das says you're allowed to return the cash value of it. So the Chaviz Das says it's not a Chayshe Mishpat Dikedin. It's v'chay achicha imach. Ki hecha denechi. So he should live. He has to have the value. He doesn't have to have the object.
The life is also over involved.
Well, we're talking about after they were over, that there's no question.
So you see, it's not just somebody taking something from somebody else. Even the one who's giving, the agent, okay. The safe for everybody.
And what? Malchus? Nafkamina, if you get Malchus, well, either way, it's Nitaklase, whether it's Geneva, it's Nitaklase, or whether it's this way, it's also.
Does he have to do it?
The Chaviz Das says doesn't say also because he says the reason I'm telling you, he says because it's not geneva, it was given willingly. That's what he says, and therefore, it's an Issa Ribis, which is what we're calling a Yerid Eidik Din. He calls it a Din Issa.
So Ribis
gets
taken from a Ger, does not have to be given back to Kayim?
Taken from a Ger? Ger is a regular Jew. What do you mean?
If he died.
Oh, if he died, yeah. Then there's nobody. If the Leiva, yes, so if the Leiva died. So Leiva dies at Dugum Revolver. We'll get to it. I was talking if the Malva died. I was talking if the Malva died, the one who took the rivers died. If the Leiva died, there's a Dugum Revolver and Kof Samach Alphas.
So it's a Chavchicha
also the Sulach Chavchicha? No, because it's totally in Dina in Kesh. Bein Allah Chavar is all totally in Kesh. Now, it's a good question. Why did the Torah apologize for putting it here if it's the Yeridei Dikadin? So you're right, the Torah doesn't seem to hold this way. There are definitely Rishonim. There's a Tosfos, Daf Kofayim, who says Beferish that Ribis is Gezeila. That's Tosfos Lashon. There are Rishonim, the Ritva, the Rashba, on that, but the Tosfos Kofayim say Fakaret. There's definitely a Machlokes Rishonim, just that the Chavos Das says it's a din iser, and Avdi Meluim, it's Simon Chav Ches, some cotton Chav Dali, Chav Beis, says if you Mikadish in each, it's Mekudeshes. So that's a Ksais in the Sivis, the Chavos Das in the Sivis, and a Ksais in Avdi Meluim. So it's the Sivis, say it's a Yaradei Dikin Din. So probably that's the Ikol Halacha. The Achelkin, the Matan Ephraim holds not that way. Look at days. The Torah sounds, from his apology, sounds like he holds it belongs to Chesha Mishpat. The Bach says those words. He says, since the Rambam put it in Hilchos Malva V'Loiva, the Gemara put it above Metziah, that's why the Torah is apologized. So there are definitely those who hold, like you say, it's a Chesha Mishpat Dikadin.
The Gemara says, Gizela, it's agreed to both parties. How can it be Gizela? Both parties agree, but you're not allowed to, but both parties agree. Why wasn't
there? Both parties agree, that's the reason it shouldn't be Gezel. Because both parties agreed. And the question is, if a person who agrees to Ribbis is really doing it willingly, or it's sort of a... He's stuck, he needs the cash, so he's agreeing. In many cases, they benefit. Okay. That's right, the Isser you can't agree to. All right, now. Is it Shechefetz? You have to get the value to tie to the ribbons? You looked at Kosava Chalef. Okay. So you have to give back the value at the time that you took it. He really says that. Okay. Okay. So finish. Okay. So Rabbi Say, that's too much Hakdama is going to come out of your ears already. So again, two things that make it Rabbana, two things that make it Mutter, and then the argument of Shiloh, what's it doing here today? Let's start with a big Chiddush. Listen to this. Sif Aleph. Devar Torah mutalav is a chavim beribis. In a Torah, you're allowed to lend to a guy beribis. And look at the next two words. The chachamim osru. The chachamim said you're not allowed to lend to a guy beribis. Im leikidei chayav, unless it's what you need to live. Oyle talmud chacham. It doesn't mean the guy's a talmud chacham. You lend me the guy. It means the talmud chacham is allowed to lend beribis. Oy ribis to rabbanim. And then the Shulchan Aruch says voyid nemutar b'cholin yin. You ever saw such a roller coaster? Devar Torah, you're not allowed to go to Ribbis. Rabbanan said, not allowed to go to Ribbis. Ha'inna, shoo, you're not allowed to go to Ribbis. Okay? So, no, not quite. That's not the reason. So, the question is, what's going on here? So, let's see the Taz. The Taz says, B'tur Kosev Atam, the Tam of the Ribbis, Diksiv V'chai Ochicha Imach. In Ribbis, the reason you have to return Ribbis is v'chay ochicha imach. But the chavim in anta mitzvah lach yaisai, and I think chavim there's no more mitzvah of v'chay, so memela it excludes a guy. So therefore, now that's the Torah's reason from the word v'chay. I should add the Ramban, which Rabbi Kiva Eger brings, says it's from the word ochicha. Ochicha, the guy is not ochicha. So either way, either v'chay excludes a guy, or ochicha excludes a guy. And therefore, an Ayvik Chavim is Mutter. Yesh Makshim, Adisa Beperkin, Omer of Nachem Bar Yitzchak, Miksiv, Altikach, Me'itam, Me'itaiksiv, Me'Israel, Pishrashi, we're still reading the Taz, Chiksiv Ger Toshav, Lini Vachai, Chicha, Yimachu, Diksiv, Shata Betzovalach, Yaisai, Altikach, Me'itai Nesha, Koi Davka, Al Chicha, Valaya Ger Toshav, Shmamino, Dein Ribis, Lach, Yaisai, Tli, and Zebizah. So we see that ribis is not totally zevizeh walachayaisai, because the ger taishav that you're allowed to be mechaya, is excluded from the miyot of itay v'lo itam. It says twice v'chayachi chaymach. Achshe kaza tikam itay nesha shmami no linyer lekichas ribis tosa atar bechiyusa de bezet tichias achicha v'lo v'kacham v'ger taishav. So first the Taz explains why min ha-Torah it's mutter. Now, but the Rabbanon it's aser, why did the Chachamim aser it? So that you have to look at the first shach. It's sort of like Bishul Akum. They didn't want you mixing with Goyim all the time. Now, if you have a grocery, you're going to deal with Goyim too. But you deal with Yidden and Goyim. If you have a Malva Beribis store, you're only doing business with Goyim. So the Chachamim made a Gzeira, Shilmi Mimaisav, that you should not do ribis with Goyim.
Why did they make such an exception? They don't so, make it by Bishop,
Okay, so we once had a rule, which we'd mentioned a dozen times, that if an original Gzeira was made without Leiplug, without exceptions, that the Gzeira stands forever. Then you need a Bezna Gadol Mimenu to be abolish it. If the original Gzeira was made with exceptions, exception for a Talmud Chacham, Kedei Chayav, so then the Gzeira could be batal. And in Beis, the Shach explains why it was batal b'zman hazeh, in the Mutter, l'chal Adam, l'chal Minei Ribis, shum she'iev shalonu l'stakeh b'shum ha'asat matan, emloy shanisa v'nisa nimaim. It says, because now, once the world changed, it's interesting, already in the time of the Shach, the world became more of a commercial place. So it's not possible to do business without interacting with Goyim. So now the Tama Dover is bottled. When Jews lived in a shtetl and they traded their chickens for milk, or their whole thing was bartering among Jews, so then it was possible to say, don't do business with Goyim. In the expanded marketplace, where all business is done with Goyim as well, so the Tam HaDavar, that by not lending ribis to Goyim, is going to somehow put up a gear there, so that doesn't apply. So in the Mutter B'Chalim.
A bank.
Because
before they had to, be talking to Osa?
That's right. Before they had to, be asked for money in a bank. So you're showing that Tishach is right. Now,
Lashon Hara, you're not allowed to even, you can say it on a guy, but it's being, it makes him marginal for the Avera.
Okay, it's interesting. It doesn't take you marginal. It says, Gershom Yilmi Mimaisav. If it would be Al Tergal to Avera, that would be a good reason. But it's not the reason the Shach brings. Yes. Now, what about it? So it's a very interesting thing. You're right. The Torah says Lanochri Sashich. Now, there's an interesting Rambam. The Rambam says it's a mitzvah assay to lend to a guy beribis. It's brought here on the side. Who brings it? Is it Knesset Agdayla? Knesset Agdayla, Kosovo Rambam, Perakemel Chesmalva Valaiva, Umitzvah assay Lashel Loy Kachavim, Shedemel Lanochri Sashich. Mepiash Molam, there's a mitzvah assay Adkan. The Rambam holds that lending a guy beribis is a mitzvah saseh. The Ramban says, no, it's a lava babachal saseh. It just means that yid is awesome. The Rambam holds a mitzvah saseh to lend beribis, so mitzvah srichas kavana. You know, when you make a deposit in a bank, it should be mechavin that you're lending a guy beribis for a mitzvah saseh.
How would you pass so, in the Rambam? Because the
so the question is, I think that's what Avraham meant to ask. If it's a mitzvah assay, how could the Rabbanan answer it? The Taz's rule was that the Rabbanan can't answer Dover HaMafurish Bikra. So the answer to that is that the Rabbanan didn't answer it entirely. The Taz says Rabbanan can't answer a Heter HaMafurish Bikra only if they answer it in Gansim. They answer taking a luliv on Shabbos. Beforeish Bikra. So Taz said, but you take it the other days. Here also, they made exceptions for Kedei Chayav, Talmud Chacham. So Mimela, it doesn't violate the principle of the Taz. But at any rate, it's a plea. There's makatz al akatz. It's so confusing. Here, the Rambam said mitzvah asay to lend beribis to a guy. Then the Rabbanit said it's also to lend beribis to a guy. For in the motor. Now, question is, why the Machaber wrote Sif Aleph? It's a very tricky question. Why did he write the whole Sif? Everyone knows you're allowed to lend beribis. And Machaber says you should know. Rabbanit asked it, but then they were mad at it. So there's a controversial Chachmas Adam. Controversial Chachmas Adam says right here that even nowadays it's royally Yereshemayim Lahachmir al Atzmai not to lend money to a guy beribis, to go with the Isser that Chazal made at some point. That's what he says. Lo Shamanu, we never heard such a, you know, we heard of Briska Chumras, but not of this Chumra, not to lend to a guy beribis, especially the Rambam says Mitzvah Saseh. Pesachei Tshuva says if you have a choice to give a guy a free loan or beribis, you should dafka do beribis. Therefore, it's something of a mystery as to why the Mechaber brought this down. Maybe just for the idea, I don't know. In Russia, there was a long period where Jews were not allowed to own land. They weren't allowed to. They ended up, the two things they could do, run bars and lend money. It both made them very unpopular with the drunks. It's Kedei Chayev. Today is also Kedei Chayev.
I
mean, he wanted, somebody's going to learn the ice rim. Yeah, could be. Someone's going to learn. He's going to see the ice rim, and he should know. There's an interesting Gilya Marsha here, the first Gilya Marsha. Shlomo Eger brings a redak in Tehillim. Interesting. Tvar Torah butal avis echove beribis. I am ashkosav redak Tehillim mizmar tezvav. Pasik hey, ala pasik kaspe leinosam beneshech. Zel shaynei. Vat Torah loy osra elo Yisrael. Ela ava loy vikachove mutter. Kamay shomer akosav lenachri sashech. Ubevadai im oisahoy vikachove im taiva vachesed im Yisrael. Chayiv Yisrael lasses gamkein imoy chesed ulahetiv loy vehalva b'loy neshech uchesed yaisim ena matana shar b'yivayshu lakachas matana v'loy lovayis. It's interesting, Radak, he says that even though it says l'nachri sashach, but if you have a guy to whom you chayiv akaras hatayiv, so you should give him a loan for free. What does it say? Kaspe loy nasa b'neshech. It's not a sechem b'makirai. They also say b'makirai. There's no less sechanim because you owe him. There's a nice tshuva. Rav Avad Yosef has a tshuva. Someone asked him, a ger, whose guy father died. He asked him if he should say kaddish. Kaddish for a guy. So Rav Avad Yosef writes that you chayev hakaras hatayif to him, and you could say kaddish, but you don't have kedima to some of his father is a Jew. So he says. But they accept Shilas of Gerim. So that's okay. It's printed in the, I think, in the Echavad Das, maybe in the Abi Ivan. Okay, let's move on to Sif Bey. Sif Bey is. Is the din of a mummer. Okay, whatever we had till now, Bishalakum and Yayinesech, all along, when we talked about differences between Jew and non-Jew, we wanted to know where a Yisrael mummer comes into play. And I have to tell you, Tidik Shanishba Sif Gimel. So learning Sif Beis, we're not learning about Tidik Shanishba. We're talking about a mummer. Mummer, Mutala Halvaisei Beribis. We had the Chiddush. Mechaber holds that you're allowed to lend a mummer beribis. What could be a reason for that? You're not like giving treifis. V'chayo chicha imach. Yimachuyiv lachayoysa, yimachuyiv in hilchas ribis. But mummer mutala avayse beribis. The mechaber holds you're allowed to lend to a guy beribis, to a mummer beribis. Also luvayse mimeno beribis. Now I borrow from him, it's was neiver. But he himself is allowed, you're allowed to lend money to a mummer beribis. That's the sheet of the Mechaber Lamaisa. The Rambam says, Yesh Machmirin Yesh machmirim af b'momer lahalvaisai. V'toiv lahachmir im efshir lihishamek bimenu. It's not quite that the Ramah answers. He says, "V'toyv lahachmir im efshir li shabit mimenu." If it's possible to slip away from him, then slip away means not to make a loan to him. You can not make a loan to him. It's toyv lahachmir. But if it's
so why does he say, better give it the loan without the rivers?
Right. He doesn't say that. He says only if you can do without the loan. Look at. Where is it? Lahachmir. Look at Pisrei Tshuva Dalit. He explains what they're saying. I'm Tshuva Tferes Tzvisham, Kosav. Da al kapad va di osel lahavis loy beloy ribis. Chibuch halosh ramah, shekosem yochel yishamet. If you could slip away without making a loan. Abo beloy ribis, osel rak loy yovel klau. Kosavai di tzarachim bavak ribis, im osel lamumer. Dev shaloy gozo kulahai, ach vidi vei
Ramban. Why should Pisrei Tshuva say, the Zmanah says that osel to lend to a guy? Based on what we said in the Mechaber, is it also to lend to a guy? He said, you're allowed to, today you're even allowed, you were allowed to lend without rivers. Now we said,
that's with. You're saying, what's the issa to lend without ribbis in any event?
It would look like there's no issa to a guy.
Okay, because it's chesaron, there's no mitzvah lachiyaisai, and that's lachiyaisai to give him a loan for free.
But that's two mitzvahs. One was lachiyaisai by achi.
I always, whenever guys, boys in class ask me for psukim, I have this out. I always tell them I have no clue how to darshan psukim. Sometimes it's oisamay samcha, not oisamay samcha, and sometimes it includes. I don't know how to darshan. Saw Salanter has a letter. He says that before the shas, there was aleph beis. Nobody has to kasha why. Is the Aleph like this and the Beis like this? Aleph Beis is Mesaira and the Chumash Yidarshant. So B'Sos Salanta says, nowadays, the Chumash is with Mesaira, the Drushas, we don't make new Drushas. And the Gemara we work with, it's very hard to know Drushas. The Tertimim is the only one who, Tertimim and the Tziv, both related, but they both in the Pirush HaChumash explain Drushas. Besides them, there's nobody. So I don't know how to darshan the Torah, but anyway, this is the thing. Now, there's an important Shitas HaBach. Just look at Shach. Dalit is an important shita of the Bach. A mumalahachis that considers himself a Jew. The Bach has an interesting shita. He's mechalek between an assimilated Jew, someone who's assimilated and mixed among the Goyim, and a Jew who considers himself a Jew, but he's an apikairis, even lahachis. But he considers himself a Jew. I was talking about this at the Shabbos table yesterday. Someone told me that in Williamsburg, there's a mumalahachis who opened a restaurant. The name of the restaurant is Treif. I asked him, how many chassidim come in to buy there? You know, it's like, he says, no, it's the other side, in the black side of Williamsburg. But he calls it Treif. So I said, wow, the guy considers himself a Jew. And he's mamish this case. The Bach says that someone who assimilates, his children are not likely to become Yidden again. So he considers himself a Jew, but he's an apikairis, his children are likely to come back. We find such an idea that a person should give money to a Jew, even if he's a mummer, because he'll have children and grandchildren will be from a certain case where the Gemara says it. So to Bach, you should return ribbis to such a person. You shouldn't take ribbis to such a person. He's not from. Maybe his child will be from. His grandchild will be from. It'll terebach semachzeres. But if he's assimilated, he doesn't count himself as a Jew, then that is a whole different category. And there, that's the mummer we're talking about. He's totally assimilated. Yeah. So why that's the Taz's kasha? Let's see it inside. Okay, what we just talked about is a mummer. We're talking about what's a mummer. So that I read the Bach. Shach seems to pass like the Bach. That this heter is to assimilate a Jew. Now, before I get to your question, you should know that even though Lamaisa, we don't judge Fry Yidden, and Lamaisa, we don't lend to mummer beribis. It's very hard today's time to judge anybody who's a mummer. However, there are times b'di'evet where people come with a ribbis shaila, a difficult shaila, and sometimes it's a mummer, and And there are different questions of taking the money, not taking the money, and someone's a middleman, relatives gave him money, he lent it, beribis, that we use this as a tziruf. We never use it by itself, but as a tziruf, the idea that by a mummer you're allowed to take ribis, we do use it as a tziruf in cases where the ribis is a machlaikis, and we use it. Because I just said that Mubarim are only people that at least have some sort of exposure in one place. He also says only in a generation where Jews are respected. So this is all limudei schos. As a tziruf, we use it. The Chazanish comes from the Mukiyaisa, which we're going to have later in the siman. Now, just the question was asked, why is that lifnei iver? You know, it's a famous thing. The Gra was once traveling, and there was a mummer who he met in a hotel, and he told him, make a bracha. So he lifted the Rebbe at the Gra. He says, Rebbe, I'm a chal Shabbos, I eat treifis, you're telling me to make a bracha? So the Gra told him, you should know that lasid lava, you'll be punished for each avera you do. So you machal Shabbos and you eat treifis and you're mezana, it doesn't mean you're not going to be punished for not making a bracha. So at least make the bracha. That was his bakasha. In the storybooks, it ends up, of course, that he was so moved that he became a bal tshuva. So, but that's not the point of the story. The story is the Gra's musar that you punish. So here he's a mummer. You're allowed to lend him money beribis. So the question is, why isn't that a problem of lifnei iver? So that's addressed here in the Taz Gimel. The Taz Gimel. Mumu l'talavai say, do'ein atu mitzov l'achyai say, ve'ein l'hakshas ha'ayva l'fnei yiver, da'm umar oise iser v'lekichas ha'ribis, ha'ayva l'fnei yiver, tiris b'sefer ha'trumis, da'afu ein oise iser v'lekichas ha'ribis, that the person, you're not ayva iser, when it says the mummer does it issa b'lekichas haribis, he means, I guess, taking the loan b'ribis. So say that who ain't oisa issa b'lekichas haribis. Though the Yisrael nesar b'nesina haribis, this that a Jew is not allowed to pay ribis, who b'niksiva l'chich loisashich. Pirushay ata haloiva loisase iser shachicha yishach ischa. Don't allow a lender to bite you, to take away your money. If the mummer is not mitzvah on him, likach mimenu, melegamu in muza velasis ribis. So he says an interesting thing that the issa lifnei iver is only if the borrower is iver. Obviously, is the borrower iver? When the lender is allowed to lend the ribis, then the borrower has no issa, because the issa is chicha leisashich. Don't make your brother into a biter. The Gemara Darshan is artikri leisashich el leisashuch. That lechicha leisashuch means don't bite your neighbor, don't take his ribbis. So we dash leisashuch, don't allow him to become a biter. And if he's not mitzvah, then you're not mitzvah. Now that's the reason that there's no issa lifnei iver. So now in general, the ribbis, the raisa, is on the lender, on the borrower, on the witnesses, on the one who writes the contract, the lawyer who writes the contract, they're all over on different aspects of ribis. Okay, it's not like gezeila. So what's saying is the only time the borrower is over is if the lender is over. It's condition. When the borrower causes the lender to be over in Aveira, then the borrower is also over. Because lo yisashuch, you're not allowed to cause him to be over the issur. But if the borrower is not over, then the primary is the lender, the one making a profit. The borrower is not over unless he causes the lender, unless he causes the lender to be over in this. Okay, set sif phase. There's one more sif, kutim. All right, let's learn the sif. Kutim yeshlem din mumer levitachadim. Who are the kuthites? So I want to tell you a klal for shas. If you learn the word kuti in Mishnayis, it means one thing. In Gemara, it means something else. Not only because of the censors. Censors stuck in kuti for a guy in many places, but I mean besides that. And when they undid the censors' work, they sometimes messed it up the other way. When it's supposed to say kuti, there's a place that says kuti dine ka'iva kechavim. And there's an English translation that says, idolaters have a rule as idolaters. You know, kuti, dine kaiva kechavim. They translate kuti as idolaters. Now, a kuti in the time of the Mishnah was still considered by most Tanoim to be Jews. Kutim were people that were in the time of the Nach, in the time of Sancheriv. Sancheriv practiced population transfers. He took the Aseres HaShvatim, sent them elsewhere, and he populated northern Israel with the Kutim, people who came from an island, Mediterranean island. And they, Kutim were Megayer. The Kutim were Megayer. And there was a machlaikis that went on for centuries. If Kutim Geri MSM or Kutim Geri Arayasim. Geri Arayas, not Lashon Erev, Lashon Lions. Kutim Geri Arayas, because the lions attacked them. And they were afraid that because they were Avay Dazar, they were Megayer. There's a machlaikis for generations. And in the time of the Mishnah, where it says Kutim, it means mumrim. It means Jews that are not observant. Later, they found the Musiyayna Matzalehem. It was discovered that even so many centuries later, even the modern centuries, more than 1,000 years later, they still had the Musiyayna, the Avaydazar they came with, they had hidden. They practiced it secretly. So then, Klai Yisrael Paskin Kute Geirei, Araya saying they're not hidden. So in the time of the Gemara, it's Kutim Asom Ka'akum. It's the Lashon of the Gemara. The Shachet, he brings the Lashon. And therefore, they have a din of Goyim according to what it says in the Gemara. Now, that doesn't seem to shtim. Here it says Kutim Yeshlam Din Mumer Lave Des Kechavim. The Mechaber says, not what I'm telling you, which is the Shach's Kasha. Shach, yes, Kutim Yeshlam Din Mumer Lave Kechavim. Masha da osel ha'alvais mehem beribis. Okay, Masha yaiser ba'aterazav. It's Sarachian. Ha'kaimulam b'kama tuchti, shagazu ala kutim, v'asam kai v'yikachavim gemurim. And when they found this, the Musiyayna, Chazal made a takana that they have a din of v'yikachavim gemurim. So it's a big Sarachian here on the Mechaber. So the Chavis Das here says something which is not special to ribis. It's a overall difficulty. The Chavis Das says, how could you come, what does it mean, Asom Ka'ivik Echavim Gemurim? They made them into Gaim. You can't make a Takana to turn a Jew into a guy. Gemara should have said, Kutim is Galim Igloi Milsalam Afreya, that they were never Megai, they're not Geri Emes. So Chavis Das learns that we're not sure. We're not sure if they're Geri. We can't 1,500 years later. We can't be sure if the Geirus was a sincere Geirus or if it wasn't a sincere Geirus. Asam means it was a Takana Darabban and you treat them as Gayim. But the Mechaber holds that you can't treat them as Gayim Lakula. That's how the Chavis Das explains the Mechaber here. Now, yeah.
If they would have said it's Kulna Freya, that would mean you should Jews marry Kutim for 1,000 years. That would have cast
the yeah, in general, Jews didn't intermarry with the Kutim, but I'm sure there were some. And that would cast doubt on anybody whose lineage, they could have mixed already into the Jews. And anybody whose line would go up to a Kuti. You're right. You're right. Now this subject is Megaya to millions of human beings in the world today. Because statistically, over the generations, that without a doubt, there are millions of Jews who are biologically descendants, mother, back to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and they have no clue. They're already nevdu ben agayim, like the Gemara says about the Aseres HaShvatim. There's a mandiyama there on the other side of the Sambatyayim. There's another mandiyama who says that they already mixed out with the Gayim. The question is, what's going to be when Mashiach comes? Are we suddenly going to have could be another 100 million Jews or not? Now this is a very fascinating machlokes between the Marsha and the Marshal in the Sechtes Yevamos. Yevamos, I think it's around after Zion. The Marshal says, Asom Ka'akum means Klal Yisrael, we could throw out, it's a membership, we could throw people out. And when it says Asom Ka'akum, it means that we have a right to throw out people if they don't consider themselves Jews in any form or manner. We have a right to throw them out. If it's the shtak of Shem Yisrael mayhem, so Yidden could have a right to throw it out. The Marsha says, I don't know what you're talking about. Marsha says, how could a Jew become a Jew? You can be a Megayer and become a Jew. You can become a Jew. Ramosha there has a long arichus, very stark, that there's no such thing. Someone's a Jew, he's a Jew forever. Ramosha writes, it doesn't matter how long they assimilated, a Jew is a Jew. However, there's a Maramakim, which is not well known. There's some Sefer has Hagois on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, which are relatively new. I mean, they're not new in our generation, but in Hungary in the pre-World War II, they didn't. I don't think they were known. And the printers later stuck it in here and there in Aruch Chaim. In Hilchas Tefillin, it's a totally out of the way place. Some Sefer writes, he defends the Mashal Shita, and he writes that Klal Yisrael, Knesset Yisrael, has a right to exclude people from the Jewish people. If it's the Shtak Hashem Yisrael Mimenu, it's in the interest of Jews to exclude them for whatever reason. There is such an idea of losing the identity as a Jew. Now, yeah.
So if you say, go back mother to mother to mother, and you're Jewish, you're really not doing them a favor, because someone going back is saying somebody that gave his wife a get, didn't give his wife a get, and everybody that's
be mamzer.
So you're not doing them a favor at all.
Right, there is a kula by mamzerim. We have a Kabbalah that a mamzer whose mamzerus was forgotten in Klal Yisrael, Eliyahu Navi will not reveal that they're mamzerim. So that if it's not traceable, Eliyahu Navi is not coming to be mitame mamzerim. Although I shouldn't say it. The Gemara says that, but then the Gemara says that it's suffik mamzerim. Although I don't know how Eliyahu has a suffik mamzer, but what you're saying is true. It could cause bigger problems, but in halacha, if someone is not known to be a mamzer, we assume he's not a mamzer.
Wouldn't my shoulder have to say the same thing by mamzer as he says by a?
Well, if he's a Jew, he could be a mamzer. If he's not a Jew, that's what Harvey's saying.
It's a guy.
I mean, Hatayr, it's mutter. What does that mean? Eliyahu be mitar? I'm not sure. The stoma, it says Eliyahu was not going to reveal the Mamzerus and Klai, so it's not going to reveal Psulim. Yeah. My point is that this Chavis Das and this Lechaber and Shach, whether Lechumra Kutim have a din Yidin, or it's possible to say, the Shach says, a song Kavik Chavim Lechol Dover. Whether it's possible to say such a thing, that's a broader issue, and Yeshay. The Karoim, we have to finish. The few of them on Harevo, you mean? Yeah, there are thousands still. Yeah, I think when the when Jews don't travel there anymore and they lost their tourism, I think there aren't so many left. I'm not serious. This is the din. There's a machlokes mechaber in the shach. All right, we'll finish the karoyim and mitzvah shem.